Hi everyone, it's Richard Jacob here from Hulamin. This is a presentation of our 2016 annual financial results and performance. I'm going to kick off. Welcome to anyone and everyone who's on the line. Starting off with the key points and how we're going to structure this presentation, I'll make some opening remarks, make some comments about the market conditions, and then hand over to Anton, who's going to talk you through the financials. He'll then pass the baton back to me. I'll talk through the operational review for 2016, make some strategic comments, and then close with some comments on the outlook that we see for 2017. So starting with the key points, I'm on slide 4, what you'll find on the website. 2016 was a record year in many respects for Hulamin. Firstly, record sales. We improved our volume of sales from 198,000 tons in 2015 for the group to 232,000 tons. That was driven by strong performance from Hulamin Rolled Products that improved its performance from 180,000 tons in 2015 to 214,000 tons, which is a record in 2016. Another record, which is a proxy for the improved operating performance and the manufacturing performance, was our best ever safety record. Against a total recordable case frequency rate of 0.27, which in our research indicates close to world benchmark performance. The performance in 2016 was much improved on a financial point of view, particularly the second half. If you compare half one and half two of 2016, in the first half we produced headline earnings per share of 48 cents, compared to a substantially improved performance of 71 cents in the second half. And in addition to the improved profit performance, we also had very significantly improved cash flow for performance in the two halves, 415 million rand positive cash flow for the year after 33 million positive cash flow in the first half. In terms of market conditions, obviously being in the aluminium value chain, an aluminium producer, we start looking at the aluminium price, and the LME aluminium price has started rising since late 2014 late 2015 through 2016 to average at just under $1,700 for the year, closing at $1,713 after a close of $1,508 in 2015. Geographic premiums have remained stable after the dramatic fall in early 2015. Talk in the market is that China is closing primary aluminium supply due to environmental reasons, and the world prices of aluminium is rising, which is illustrative of the great dependence that has emerged worldwide on aluminium primary. We hear and see evidence that there's only under 1 million tons of primary aluminium produced in the United States on demand of over 4 million tons. Looking at the local market, demand for beverage cans after a slow start in 2016 has continued to firm, and we are feeling quite strong demand from our local customer for beverage can stock. Automotive demand in 2016, both locally and internationally, has remained fairly firm, and we have quite a full order book for 2017 for our automotive products. Finally, building and construction and other engineering applications for aluminium have remained stubbornly soft, particularly in the local market. I'm now on slide 6, looking at the slide that compares the LME plus geographic premium with the Shanghai Futures Exchange price of aluminium. And as you can see, they track each other reasonably closely over a three to four year period. We've been in a period where the Shanghai Futures Exchange has been slightly higher than the LME. That's since mid-2016 till the end of 2016. And as a result, our Chinese competitors have been a little bit less competitive, and that talks to a slight increase that we've seen in rolling margins, which I'll talk to a little bit later. With that, I'll hand over to the second section of this presentation, which is Anton Krull, who will talk through the financial performance for Hulamin for 2016.
Thanks, Richard. It was a very pleasing financial performance for Hulamin recorded during 2016. Just having a look at slide 8 and some of the financial highlights of that particular financial year. Group earnings before interest and tax up 110% to a record level, 622 million rand. And after interest costs, which were up around 30% year on year, mainly due to higher average borrowings, albeit lower in the second half, and higher rates of interest in the year. Earnings increased to a much higher level with HEPS improving 222% and normalized earnings per share up 116% to 119 cents per share. In addition to much improved profitability, there was strong working capital performance and a robust approach to capital expenditure, and that led to strong cash generation of in excess of 400 million, which reduced borrowings below 600 million at the year end. The board approved the dividend of 15 cents per share, which compares with the 2015 dividend of 8 cents per share. Just moving on to slide 9 and having a look at comparable earnings, comparable profitability. Comparable EBIT is up 20% year on year. And if we just reflect on some of the transactions in 2015, which led to some headline and normalizing adjustments, you'll recall that there was the ESC's Inter transaction, which was concluded in 2015, in which Hulamin took a stake in the cast house in Richards Bay together with our BE partners, and that led to a bargain purchase gain and a share-based payment cost, which reversed out to normalized EBIT. In addition, Hulamin concluded its BE transaction in 2015, and that also led to a share-based payment cost. Finally, just looking at the impact of the dramatic fall in the aluminium price during 2015, that led to that large metal price lag loss of 161 million in 2015 as compared with a 50 million rand gain in 2016 as the aluminium price has risen from around $1,500 a tonne end of 2015 to $1,700 a tonne at the end of 2016. Just in looking at history of underlying profit performance on slide 10, pleasing to note that there's been some momentum established since 2013, and of course a strong performance in 2016, so those figures are comparable EBITDA before metal price lag, so it's pleasing to note. Then just turning then to slide 11 and looking at some of the key value drivers and the impact on Hulamin and Hulamin's performance. Sales volumes very strong in rolled products, up 19%, overall 17% for the group. And Richard will talk more to that later around the strong manufacturing performance, which really underpinned the sales performance. The currency, on average, a lot weaker period on period. 14 rand 73 for on average for the period 2016 compared with the 12 rand 77 on average for 2015. And of course the aluminium price we've spoken about stronger in the 2016 period, resulting in that metal price lag gain. Rolling margins were weaker for a number of reasons, and Richard will touch on those a bit later on. And conversion costs, many of our conversion, or much of our conversion cost is, some of our conversion cost is impacted by volume and currency, particularly material costs and the likes of energy costs. But adjusting for volume and currency, the costs were in line with inflation and commodity price increases. Of course, Hulamin has a very high fixed cost base, and with the improvement in production and sales volumes, the unit costs were down 4% period on period. Working capital is a good performance in working capital. Debtor days slightly down on the prior year, creditor days in line, and some real big improvements in inventory efficiencies, which we'll talk to later. Same business capex. I think improved processes and structures and the way we look at capex has led to same business capex down over 100 million on the previous period to much more accessible levels. And just turning to slide 12 and looking at EBITDA bridge 2015 versus 2016, one can see there that the currency impact, that's the 2 rand on average difference year on year 15 versus 2016, really bolstering profitability for the 2016 year. The fall in regional premiums of around $300 to $400 did impact the business negatively. But the metal price lag benefit in 2016 of 50 million versus 161 loss in 2015, it certainly made a difference in the year-on-year profitability. Just looking at the operational performance, strong profit generation from the increase in volumes, bulk products 214,000 tons in the current year versus the 180 of the prior year was a really strong performance. Margin, you can see the impact there of the fall in margins period on period, mainly the mix impacts and some pricing impacts there. And then a recycling benefit of 19 million reflects 4,000 additional tons recycled through the new recycling facility. Conversion costs of 251 million impact on profitability really relates to the inflationary increases on Hulamin's 3 billion plus cost base. And then 24 million came through from other business units, an improvement on the 2015 performance. Then just turning to slide 13 and looking at the half-on-half performance for 2016, that's a very pleasing performance and certainly a very strong second half, as Richard has noted. The currency was a lot stronger in the second half of 2016, averaging around 14 rand versus the 15 rand 46, which it averaged for the first half. Regional premiums a lot more stable after the LME warehouse regulations have been imposed, and there was a slight benefit from metal price lag in the second half over and above the first half. But it was really a strong operational performance, which really shone through in the second half. Volumes in rolled products of 112,000 tons in the second half versus the first half, 102,000 tons. An improving rolling margin in the second half, and a lot more scrap processed through our recycling plant, 10 to 12,000 tons in the second half. Versus around 4,000 tons in the first half. And conversion costs up in the second half, that's normal in the Hulamin's context, following wage increases halfway through the year. And electricity, there's some winter tariffs which Hulamin incurs in the second half. In the second half, additionally, we were forced to import a large amount of gas, which comes at a large premium due to the issues in obtaining gas from the local refineries during the period. And just looking at slide 14 and the balance sheet and some of the tasks we set ourselves, we focused on improving headroom in our borrowings, and we were able to secure a new 3-year working capital facility, which is covenant light, provide us with additional headroom and comes at an acceptable cost. And at the same time, we've driven operating performance, made improvement in working capital and retained capital discipline. And so Hulamin has a much stronger balance sheet at the end of 2016 and sets us up well for the 2017 year. Looking at slide 15 and the cash flow performance for 2016, strong operating performance. We've spoken about that. And then good performance in working capital that's driven 166 million of cash flow for the year. Interest paid of 102 million for the year, reflects a fairly high average borrowings level for the year, but a much stronger performance in the second half, reduced borrowings significantly over the second half. CapEx of 264 million is net of an MSEP grant benefit of 57 million, and the capital expenditure more in line with where we'd like it to be. Looking at slide 16 and looking at the inventory, average inventory days, which really underpins the benefit we've seen coming out of working capital in the period. Really good performance driving inventory down to an average of 85 days, which is significantly lower than the plus 100 days averaged for the preceding 3 years. And it's really a result of some improved scrap management, making sure that we obtain our scrap in usable format much quicker, so improvement in scrap formatting, logistics and consumption. The improved manufacturing performance and consistent production, of course, provide an underpin to allow us to manage inventory a lot easier. But we've made additional strides in terms of flexibility in metal ordering from South 32, the additional casting facility we've obtained through our interest in the cast house has really enabled us to draw our slab stock levels down. And then there's a lot of good work that's resulted in a reduction of work in progress levels through process improvements and a host of better call logistics initiatives, scheduling, etc. So really good performance in inventory. And then CapEx, I think, just looking at 2016, the same business CapEx level is far more acceptable, and then driving some improvement CapEx through to support improvements in capacity and to support initiatives in terms of driving mix improvements in the business. Just then looking at liquidity and capital structure on page 18, liquidity position you can see from 2009 through 2012 was not adequate. That improved in 2013, came off in 2015, and we sought to bring that back in 2016 to much more acceptable levels. So then just finally in conclusion, page 19, slide 19, we continue to drive free cash flow through the next financial period. We'll probably seek to maintain volume gains and working capital gains, and are not forecasting large improvements in those areas, but we'll be focusing certainly on mix and margin and continued focus on cost reduction as well as improving our metal input mix. So we'll continue to seek to reduce borrowings and at the same time maintaining sufficient headroom in our facilities. And we're obviously looking out for appropriate opportunities to invest to continue to grow our return on capital employed. And I'll hand back to Richard to take us through the operational review.
Thanks, Anton. Moving on to slide 21, if you look at the summary of performance in a number of areas on the operating side, top left-hand corner, if you look at rolled products sales volume, you'll see the record sales on the far right. That's 2016 numbers. You can see better than the previous best of 2011, in which year we achieved 208,000 tons in rolled products. Also to note in the rolled product sales volume graph is the continued increase in local sales. That's pleasing. It's on strategy. It's part of our strategy to have eventually the majority of our sales in the local and regional market. Other points to note on slide 21 is the continual decline and improvement in safety performance since 2010. And there you can see we've achieved excellent performance over this period. I'll make some more comments about rolling margins in due course. Just finally to note on this slide, the continued increase on the bottom right-hand side under group local sales mix, the continued growth in packaging as we see demand for beverage cans and can stock being one of our core products, both in the local and export markets. We continue to make strides in growing our sales into the packaging industry. Slide 22 looks at the operating margin in rands. As you can see, a slight decline in selling price, that's the light blue, as a result of the lower rolling margins and steadiness in the LME. Slightly weaker rand dollar helped us in some respects in that regard. Looking at the gray shaded in portion, that's the unit cost in rand, that came down quite sharply. As I've said on numerous occasions before, Hulamin is a largely fixed cost business, and as a result, we are quite volume sensitive in our unit costs, and there you can see a nice decline in rand as a result of the increase in volume. Moving on to slide 23, this is a slide that just illustrates the structure of how I'm going to present the next few slides. This is a fairly well-utilized EBITDA model that many of our stakeholders who choose to model Hulamin financial performance will use an EBITDA model not unlike this, which takes the revenue line, which is sales volumes in raw products, times rolling margin, times rand dollar. You can use the published EBITDA to subtract from this revenue, and you'll get a cost line less, obviously after you've taken out some of the other benefits, such as the profits from extrusions and the profits from buying scrap in below LME, and that's the way I'll present the next few slides. On slide 24, which is where I am now, you see the half-on-per-half performance on sales. I'm talking particularly to the gray block now. I'll come back to this slide in when I start talking about rolling margins and mix. But in looking at the far left column in the half-on-half comparisons, you'll see a steady increase in volumes from first half of 2015 to the second half of 2016, and that's a very pleasing performance. This is indexed, but we do publish the actual performance as well, so that's readily available to explain the growth in volumes, the consistent growth in volumes, which we expect to maintain at these levels, not too much growth in 2017, largely as a result of some planned maintenance that we've got in mind for later on this year. I'm now moving on to slide 25. Sales volumes, the performance in 2016 was impacted by excellent plant performance, product yields, which I'll show you a graph in just a minute. Rolling productivity, we got excellent performance out of the hot and cold rolling mills. Much better reliability, that's uptime from across the plant, as well as a number of productivity improvements that we've made through using lean manufacturing tools in a number of areas of the business. Adding to these internal improvements have been the improved service and product range we get from Isizinda, and as Anton said, that has enabled us to keep working capital and inventory levels down and improving our ability to plan the plant and get high levels of throughput through a wider range of slab permutations available from Isizinda. Also to note is that we've had a very stable, very motivated workforce. We have managed to renew our contract, the 3-year contract with our workforce, which was achieved in middle of 2016. So we now have a 3-year deal with an increase of between 7% and 10% for our hourly paid employees from 2016 through 2018. As far as the external situation, you will recall that we've had some disruptions to the plant as a result of external supply of services, mainly energy through electricity and gas in recent years, as well as logistics, and fortunately this has been a very positive performance and positive support from the supply of services in 2016. Moving on to slide 26, this shows the trajectory of production performance. As you may recall about Hulamin, we do have the ability to sell everything we can make, so the production performance in the business is a good indicator of what we're going to sell, and that's what you see in the slide. Moving on to slide 27, slide 27 talks to the yield. Just to recap, this is the ratio of sales mass to start mass through the manufacturing process, and as you can see, 2016 was an excellent year, both halves being above target, on or above target, unfortunately, we did see a slight decline half on half, and that's really as a result of mix changes. We had a richer mix of, this is because this is a weighted average of all the different product streams in the business. We had a more difficult mix in the second half, and this resulted in a slight decline in recoveries or yields, as we call them in the business, half on half. Moving on to slide 28. I'm going to now talk about rolling margins, as the rolling margin contributed to the revenue line. As you can see, a sharp fall from 2015, really from the first half of 2015 through to 2016. This corresponded to a dramatic fall in the geographic premiums that are payable on top of the metal price, as well as a sharp increase in exports of semi-fabricated aluminium products coming out of China in the same period. Just to talk a little bit more about what happened in 2016 as far as rolling margins are concerned, we had large volumes of production and sales in automotive heat-treated plate and can stock products in the plant, and that contributed to a high revenue, although from a weighted average point of view, we also had even larger increases in sales of lower priced products. So we have an ability in our business to turn on sales of what we call commodity products at quite short notice, and we achieved this in 2016. So although the weighted average percentage of high value products was down, the actual total volume of these products was up year on year. Market conditions remain uncertain. The oversupply situation out of China remains in the global markets, although there is quite a bit of political uncertainty both in Europe and in the USA with regards to how Brexit and the election of President Trump to the United States are going to impact the supply-demand dynamics in our industry. I have spoken about the year-on-year percentage product mix changes with a significant proportion of the increased volume year-on-year coming from commoditized or non-high-value products happening year-on-year, and that explains some of the decrease in product mix year-on-year. We did have an improvement, as I showed previously in the previous slide, on dollar rolling margins half-on-half, with about a $50 improvement from half one into half two. We also experienced a softer euro during the course of 2016. What this does, because we do have a reasonable proportion of our sales, right about 20% of our sales are in euros, this results in some exposure in the business to the euro. And when the euro declines against the US dollar, this results in a lower US dollar aggregate rolling margin in our business. Also, the aluminium price, as I mentioned earlier, higher Shanghai Futures Exchange results in more competitiveness in the West, and we've experienced that a little bit recently. At the same time, a low Shanghai Futures Exchange makes our Chinese competitors more competitive and does put pressure on rolling margin. This is exactly what happened from the second half of 2015. Moving on to slide 31, and I'm now coming back to the half-on-half product mix. As I said in the previous slide, you can see that this describes in the colored sections, not the gray the gray columns, the volume performance. And there you can see the strong sales from 2015 onwards of can end stock, heat-treated plate, and local. You can also see the light blue column, which is the common alloy or commodity exports, and you see that spiked in the first half of 2016 and illustrates this ability that we have to turn on large volumes of export sales at short notice. I'm now on slide 32, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the metal price lag. Metal price lag year on year did show quite a significant turnaround, although we only benefited to the tune of 50 million in the 2016 year period. Moving on to slide 33, and this is the rand-dollar component to the revenue line. As you can see, the rand-dollar spiked in the last period in January-February 2016, and since then has come off quite significantly down to the level that we're seeing today, which is at or below 13 rand to the dollar. This has quite a significant impact on our business and will be quite a strong indicator of how we perform in 2017. I'm now moving on to the cost line, and as we've indicated previously to many of you who may be interested in modeling our business, if you complete the revenue equation and from that you subtract the EBITDA number that we do publish, you'll get the costs, which you'll still need to subtract off that the metal price lag and the other overs and unders to the profit line from profits in our other businesses, as well as the benefit we get from scrap. And if you apply slide 35 to that, you'll get some reasonable indication of what our individual cost lines are in raw products, be they materials, which is metal-related costs such as melt loss and so on, energy, manpower, consumables, and maintenance. And you can apply that as you see fit. I'm going to make some comments now about Hulamin Extrusions. Hulamin Extrusions had a good year. Profits improved quite significantly in Hulamin Extrusions. I've now skipped 37 and I'm on to 38. We also have put a bit of effort into that business to review its strategic direction. As a result, we have embarked on a revised go-to-market strategy, bearing in mind that this business, unlike Hulamin Roll Products, is constrained by how much it can sell, so its market offering and its market positioning is quite critical, and we are putting quite a lot of effort into that during the 2016-2017 period, and we'll be able to make some decisions about repositioning that business in quarter two of this year when that exercise is complete. We've also, as a result of some other market research in parallel with that, decided to capitalize on some market opportunities in the building and construction area, and we have approved a 30 million rand investment in Hulamin Extrusions to put a color coating, powder coating line into that business, and that will give us significant uplift in the architectural building and construction space. Moving back to our scrap purchases, bear in mind that in Hulamin we buy and sell scrap. We buy scrap which includes used beverage cans, canned scrap that we buy back from our customers, other customers' scrap, as well as scrap that's available in the market. We also sell scrap in formats and alloys that are unusable to us, so that the published scrap benefit that we achieve is net of that. In 2016, we bought in excess of 16,000 tons of scrap, and that is constrained by how much can stock we can sell in the form of canned body stock, because the alloy is fairly unique and usable only really in going back into the same canned body stock product. I'm now moving on to the strategy update, which is the fourth section on slide 40. Slide 40 talks to some significant strategic and business planning that we've done to bridge the gap between our 16 performance and what we believe is our long-term performance intent, which is to achieve returns above our weighted average cost of capital, which is now roughly 12%, to achieve strong and consistent cash generation, to pay dividends consistently, to boost the price, the Hulamin share price in the price earnings ratio, as well as to achieve a level 3 BE scorecard. In order to achieve that, we plan to achieve consistent sales volumes out of our rolling business in excess of 220,000 tons, to make mixed margin improves by improvements in excess of 10%, to increase our purchases of scrap to roughly 20% of metal purchases in Hulamin Roll Products, to reduce costs across the board with a specific focus on energy, and that will include about 10% additional purchases of compressed natural gas to reduce inventory and improve our capital, our working capital turns, and also to significantly up our capital discipline and how we allocate capital in the business. Moving on to slide 41, you will have seen in the past I've spoken quite consistently to the five pillars, strategic pillars that we've identified previously. Those are improving operational performance, cost competitiveness, growing local and regional sales, securing metal supply, and having a supportive regulatory environment. We have updated those strategic pillars to three new pillars, which cover strengthening the core, which is improving the current performance of the business. As I've spoken a little bit about that, and there you can see with those ticks how that correlates to our previous strategic intent. Moving on to improving rolling margins, that's, as you can imagine, a very fundamentally important part of our business and talks to growing our regional sales as well as the impact of the regulatory environment on our business and things like import duties and so on. Finally, talking to building assets of the of tomorrow, that's a very important investment component of our strategy, which requires us to invest not only in human capital but in fixed assets. We do believe that our rolling assets are well placed to take us into the future. We have very competitive hot and cold rolling mills, but in order to position the business for a future range of products, we need to invest in a number of items of finishing equipment, which will give us the capability to produce even more sophisticated products. And those investments include things like our current feasibility into automotive body sheet and a number of other products that we're currently investigating. And then finally, an outlook for the business. We will continue throughout 2017 to focus on operational performance. We're seeing very strong demand for our products and a very healthy Hulamin brand in the market and reputation. And as a consequence, we are fully sold for the majority of this year. We only have sales in certain product streams in the final two quarters of this year. We will continue to focus on scrap sourcing and optimizing the asset that we have in our recycling furnace. We are also focused, as Anton said, on improving rolling margins, and we have a number of programs underway there to improve our dollar rolling margins. Finally, a word of caution. We are uncertain as to where the rand dollar is going to go this year, as everyone is, and as a consequence, the good performance of 2016 will only be able to repeat that if we get a favorable bounce from the rand dollar, should the rand continue to strengthen or be where it is for the balance of this year at below 13 rand to the dollar where it is today. This will undermine the other improvements that we've made and plan to maintain in the business. And with that, thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing you in the next round.
With that, I'm very happy to take any questions. Pardon? Yeah, we'll now exit from the call. Sorry, that was unrehearsed. We're now happy to take any questions from the podcast call.
It seems like we have no questions on the line.
Richard? Questions?
Thanks. Any questions from the room? Run.
Has that changed under the current circumstances?
To ask Anton to join me here, I can give you an engineer's version of it, but I think I'll be in safe hands in the CFO's hands.
I think policy is the same.
market in 2000. Just to remind us what that policy is, the predominant risk that we hedge against is the lag in metal price from the time we procure metal to the time we sell metal. And that is made up of two main components. It's the dollar aluminium price, and it's the currency impact on the dollar aluminium price. And we hedge the currency impact out 100%, and we hedge the dollar aluminium price impact out 50%. And obviously, when you enter into this kind of hedging program, the balance is between profitability stability and cash flow stability. And we have primarily focused on seeking profitability stability in the sense of the hedging program, but with the caveat of making sure that the cash flow volatility is not dramatic. So we've sort of treaded the line. And hedging currency at 100% on metal, there's a natural buffer in being open on rolling margins. So that buffers the cash flow impact. But on metal, we don't have a counteracting impact. So we hedge the dollar price 50%. And there's other traditional forms of hedging. We would hedge our receivables and our payables in our foreign denominated receivables and payables and those kinds of things. But the metal price lag is probably the most difficult to understand and has the biggest impact on the numbers.
So how far ahead would you
hedge currency? So traditionally, we hedge currency from aside from the metal price lag component to it, we sell. We hedge forward from the date of invoice to the date of cash receipt. That's typically 30 to 60 to 90 days.
I can just add that we're not long on the currency in terms of our rolling margin. So the way to think about this business is we try and hedge out the effect of metal. We buy metal and sell metal. And we remain open on our conversion margin. And some of our conversion costs are impacted by currency. But we don't hedge the conversion cost and the conversion margin layer out over the long term. As Richard says, it's just when that crystallizes into receivable or payable, we will hedge that to date the receipt of all payments.
Ian.
Ian, you put a lot of emphasis on the reconstitution of scrap. Can you just remind them to give us an idea? I'm continually impressed by the innovative nature of our scrap collectors that we see walking around the street, whether it's aluminum cans, glass bottles, cardboard boxes. It seems a heck of a big industry. Is it? And what's
the percentage of your source there? As you can see from the number that we're reporting, which is just more than 16,000 tons of scrap purchases for the year, that's below 10% of our metal purchases. The equation is quite complicated. Exactly as you say, it's a little bit like money lying around. People naturally just go and pick it up, because it has inherent value. Aluminium scrap particularly is very valuable. The complexity around scrap is that it's a little like colored glass. We make all different colors of glass, but we can only get scrap in one color. And that is a limiting factor in how much scrap we can actually buy. There is more scrap available in the local market than we can consume, and that's what I was referring to when I said there's a strong linkage between how much scrap we can produce and how much canned body stock we produce, because that's the color, if you want to use that analogy, of the scrap that is available. In addition to that, our customer in the local market has decided from a risk point of view to have a two-supplier strategy for canned body stock. What that means is that we supply only a small majority of the canned body stock that Nampak consume, which means that the imported volume of canned body stock consumes metal that we could. So one of our objectives, exactly as Anton was saying, is to
increase our share of Nampak's volume, and that will happen this year. We have a contract for an increased percentage of the consumption this year, which will allow us to buy even more scrap in the market this year. Well, in the absence of any further questions, thank you very much for your time. I'm sure that everybody has a very full day, so thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you next time.